let's open our Bibles to the book of Gospel of John, chapter 19. We'll start with this one. What I did the last time that we were here is I started a series, and the first part of the series is Our Greatest Possessions. Y'all remember that? Our Greatest Possessions. And I'm going to tell you what the first one is so that you'll be updated if you missed it. Our greatest possessions are, number one, eternal life. Would y'all agree with that? Amen. Eternal life's the greatest thing anybody. If you don't have eternal life, you don't have anything that's really going to last. You must have eternal life. Number two is redemption. Redemption means to be set free from bondage by the payment of a price. And who set us free from that bondage was who? Jesus did. He set us free from the bondage of our sin debt. Number three is repentance. Repentance is having a change of mind. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of lifestyle. And that's what happens when someone's been born again. There'll be a change in the way that they conduct themselves after they've been born again. There'll be a change in their life. You've heard me say it a million times. If there's no change, there's something wrong. If someone's truly been born again, you will see repentance there. You'll see it. And if it's not there, Scripture says faith without works is what? Dead. And that's a dead faith. There is a true faith, and there is also a dead faith. And there's people that have those. They don't worship. They don't serve the Lord. They don't read their Bibles and all these different things. They have no desire for spiritual things. And I hope don't make anybody mad, but if the person's that way, I wonder about their soul, because when you're born again, you're new. Old things pass away and all things become new. But if it does, if a person's not new, I wonder about it. I get nervous about it. I do. I wonder about that. I've seen funerals that I've done before, and they said they were saved, but you'd have never knew it from what they never lived it. Let me put it another way: they never lived it. They never went to God's house, and they never witnessed anybody. They never spiritually educated their children. They didn't do none of that. They had a profession of faith. I want you to hear this. There's such a thing as a dead profession, dead as a doornail. And a dead faith is not a saving faith. All God's people say it. Remember that. Remember that, because I think that's important. So we've looked. Let me go back. Eternal life was the first thing. We're talking about these priceless blessings that we have in Christ. Redemption, then repentance, sanctification, and regeneration. What's regeneration mean? To be born again. That's the meaning of it. To be born again. To be born again. That's what the Lord does whenever He saves a sinner person. Okay? Now, that's five. Now, the reason, my title for this message I gave you, and I gave it to you about 2 weeks ago, is Our Greatest Possessions. And these things that I'm sharing with you tonight is our greatest. If you're born again, this is our greatest possessions. These things, these first five that I gave you are priceless. Just one of them is priceless. Just one is priceless. And I've given you five of them. Now, I'm going to give you five more. All God's people say it. I'll give you five more of them, okay? All right. My greatest possession, number one, is forgiveness of all sins. That's our first. This is the second sermon in this series. Let me say it that way. my greatest possessions. And I like to every now and again look at them. I like to every now and again just read about them and look at them, because they are indeed priceless. Just one of these great possessions are priceless. And I've given you five already, and I'm going to give you five more here in a little bit, so you can see who the rich people in the world really is. Everybody got me? You can really see who's got the greatest blessings in the world, and that's what we have in salvation. All right, now let me go ahead and I'll just give you a little of what we did before, but this second one is forgiveness of all sins. Forgiveness of all sins. When he saved you from your sin, he removed your sin debt. And this is in the book of Psalms. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. Y'all ever heard that before? You know why the Lord chose that? They never meet. So that means it just keeps right on going. They never meet. That's a great salvation. So, forgiveness of all sins. And he removes our sins and casts our sins, when you were born again, into the depths of the sea. And I think it was Zola Levitt said, and he'll put no fishing signs up. That's what he'd say. And I like that too. Forgiveness of all sins. Did you hear what I just said? Forgiveness of all sins. He removes all your sin debt. If he missed one sin, it would be sufficient to send you to hell for. One sin could send you to hell. So Jesus, that's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it. He had to pay it all. And that was very, very much needed in order for you to be born again. In John 19, I want you to turn to John 19, Gospel of John chapter 19. I hope you get all these down, because if you get these things in your heart, buddy, you'll have a good grasp on what being saved is all about. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that we have. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and let me turn to it. Romans chapter 8, and I want to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let me read a little bit of verse 8. Our chapter, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, now there's now no what? No condemnation. So not only has he forgiven us of all of our sins, now we don't have no what? No condemnation is not having a damnatory sentence. That means we're free from the law and sin of death. Our curse has been put away. Our curse has been put away. Who put it away? Jesus did. But Jesus is the only one that could have done that. No, none of the disciples could have done that. None of the prophets could have done that. Only Jesus could do that. And that's what he did. He paid our price for our forgiveness, and he paid it in full. So now our sins are what again? Forgiven and paid in full. Great thing. I mentioned this a little while ago, John 19 and 30, and I forgot to give it to you. I want to give it to you again. John 19 and 30, and the Greek word in John 19 and 30, I think the text there says paid in full, but the word telestia, y'all remember it? How many of you remember telestia? What does it mean? Paid in full. So Jesus paid our price in full. He paid our price in full. So that means your price has been paid for. And who paid for it was Jesus. And that's why it's such a great blessing to have these great possessions that we have. Forgiveness of sins, no condemnation. Now there's two kinds, I want to give this to you. There's two kinds of forgiveness. Did y'all know that? There's two kinds of forgiveness. Okay. Number one, there is parental forgiveness. There is parental forgiveness. When you was born again and God saved your soul, you became His what? Somebody tell me. You become His child. So do you still need forgiveness, though, after that you saved? Yes. That keeps you in a close relationship with Jesus. It doesn't push. Jesus pays your sin once for all. And once it is paid for, He expects for His children to walk in a life that is sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. So we have parental forgiveness. And God works in us that particular way. So we got parental forgiveness that God gives us whenever we sin. And we also have forgiveness of all of our sin whenever we were born again. And that's the greatest thing you can ever have anyhow, okay? Do you think these are great possessions? Oh, they're forgiveness of all sins, no condemnation, parental forgiveness. When I sin, does the Lord forgive you when you ask Him? Yeah. What if you get to ask? Does that mean you're going to go to hell if you didn't get to confess it? I'm asking. I hear people say things like that all the time. What if I miss one? You will. You will. That's why Jesus paid it what? He had paid it all. That's what the meaning of the text is. with regard to parental forgiveness. He paid our price, and He paid our price He paid it in full. And Jesus paid it that way. It's 100% removal of your sins. I don't want to get off on this now, but in the book of Revelations, you go back to Revelations 19, 20, 21 in that area. And everybody in heaven has on that what? What color robe they got on? White. And that white raiment represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been imputed to His children. That's what gets you. Hey, let me say it another way. That's the ticket that gets you in. That's how you get in. So you have to have His righteousness. Forgiveness of sins, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And also when we do sin, He gives us parental forgiveness. And we go to Him and said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. We should ask God for forgiveness every day of our life when we do things that's goofy and wrong. He expects us to do that. Now, what's He do that for? Does that keep you saved? No, it keeps you close. There's some people that drift. At one time, they've been close to the Lord and served the Lord, and then they drift. I've seen it all my days. I've been a pastor 40 years. I've seen people I thought would never drift away, but they did. It happens everywhere you go. And all you can do is, what do you do? you pray for them and ask the Holy Spirit to bring them back. You don't ever truly know the soul or the hearts of those who make professions. Some are real, some are not. I've seen people make professions. All of a sudden, some made a profession. Once they made a profession, never darked the church door, never witnessed to anybody, never told anybody about Jesus or anything of that nature, still kept the same habits they had before. You know what I think's wrong with that? I think they're lost when they're like that. Because the Scripture says, old things pass away, all things becomes what? If you ain't new, then you're dead. I can't stand that. I've seen that for years. I can't stand that. When I see someone make a profession of faith, I want to see that they're different. I want to see what their habits are now. If they're still going out here sucking on the bottle out there of whiskey or whatever, I think there's something wrong with it. I've seen people do that before over my tenure of 40 years. These are my greatest possessions. I'm going to give you five, but forgiveness of sins, no condemnation, parental forgiveness. He paid for all of our sin when we was born again, but he also, when we sin, he gives us parental forgiveness. That's your Father coming, and he works in your heart to bring you back into proper fellowship with him. All God's people said, he'll move you. He'll get your attention. Now, the Scripture says this, if any man says they love God and they don't serve him, Scripture says they're a bastard and not a son. Don't belong to him. Man, that's a scary thing. That's in the book of Hebrews. But you just think how strong of a language that is in the Scriptures. And there's a lot of people that way. They're not children. They're not children. They don't live the life. They don't serve. They don't witness. And they don't care. Mm-mm-mm. Bad way to be. Just something ain't right with that. Something just ain't right with that. Number four, let's go to Hebrews 7. I'm going to try to do it in 30 minutes, which would be good. Hebrews chapter 7. I hope you like this. Hebrews chapter 7. I'll go back over these again. Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 25. Hebrews 7 and the verse 20-25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the what? I want you to look at that now. He is able to save them to the what? That's uttermost. That's all the way. Yeah, I mean, when you're going to the uttermost, that's the greatest you can go. Salvation that God saves you with is to the uttermost. It's complete. And it changes you forever once you have it. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. To be saved to the uttermost is to be saved completely. To the uttermost. If you're saved to the uttermost, that's as good as it gets, don't you think? We sing a song, saved to the uttermost, I am the Lord's. It's a wonderful text. So, Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he liveth. Listen now, here's why you make it. Are you ready? I'm going to show you why you'll make it if you're truly born again. Let me start at the back at Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he's able. He's what? He's able. Let's say it one more time. He's able. He can handle it. He is able to save them. He's able to do it. Ain't no use to go to God if he couldn't do it. He can do it. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost, as far as you can get. That's a complete what? It's a complete salvation. That comes to God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He ever lives to do what? I didn't hear you. He makes intercession for you. He intercedes for you. You know what he does? He keeps you. He's your keeper. He intercedes for your behalf. He might send somebody your way at times to intercede for you and help you. But it's a salvation that where he just does not let you go. All God's people said, I love that. I mean, there's nothing really you can do with it but accept it. It's a great salvation. To be saved by the uttermost is to be saved completely. And I'm completely saved. Are you halfway saved? If you're halfway saved, you're not saved. It has to be all salvation. It has to be all the way. All right. Number five, and this will be my last one. And then I'm going to try to give you five more next Wednesday night. I'll give you five before, so this will be, tonight will be the 10th one. And the next one that I wanted to show you is adoption. See, I'm a child by new birth, right? But I'm also a child by what else? I've been adopted. He adopted me. And you know when you need to have the price of adoption. Right? There's a price of adoption, even down to the day, isn't it? Somebody wants to adopt. Does it cost? It costs. It does. I mean, it really does. If someone's going to have an adoption, then what happens? If they're going to be adopted, then eventually someone will adopt them. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians 1. I want you to go back to Ephesians 1. And this will be where I'll hang my hat. Not that I have a hat, but this is where I'll hang it here in just a little bit. I've read this verse in my 40 years many times. And I want you to understand it, but I can't give you an understanding of it unless you accept it. That's where it starts. Adoption. You know what adoption's all about? You know why he's using this terminology of adoption, Rick? You know why he's using that as an example of salvation? You know why he's doing it the way that he's doing it? In adoption, listen to me. In an adoption, who chooses the child? I'm asking. The father chooses the child. All God's people say it. The parent chooses the child. All God's people say it. And that helps you understand a little bit about predestination and choosing and all that. But it's right here. Let's read it again. Let me go back to verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual what? Spiritual blessings. So everything I'm about to read to you, the Scripture calls a spiritual blessing. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. But I just ain't going to tell who it is. I've had people, ask me to do revivals, and then they'll say, but we don't want you to preach on any of that election stuff. I said, well, is it in the Bible? I said, well, you get somebody else to do it. Just get somebody else to do it. I don't have to do, I mean, really, if you got a trouble with the Scriptures, it ain't with me, it's with the Scriptures. So you best go back and check it out and see whether it's so. That agitates me. I'm already mad now, just talking about it. If it's in the book, what are you supposed to, I mean, literally, said, just want you to preach the gospel is all we want you to do. Okay. We don't want that election stuff here. Called and wanted me to go back. I said, nope. If you're going to put a chain over what I preach out of this book, go somewhere else and do it. I ain't doing it. All God's people said, I'm already madder than I was 2 minutes ago. Beloved, if God's word says it, it behooves you to believe it. And you have to tippy around people that, oh, don't get. If you get scared of the Scriptures, then just go somewhere else then. I mean, if you're going to be afraid of what God's Word says, why would you be afraid? He puts His book there because it's what it's supposed to be. And I believe in it. I've been adopted. And in adoption, the Father chooses the child. All God's people said. The Father chose you before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Now, to me, that blesses me because I didn't deserve what I got, and neither did any of us deserve what we got. But God did that for us because He loved us before He ever said, let there be light. He said, I loved Jeff Arthur, and I'm going to make him my child, and I'm going to call him and draw him, and I'm going to save his soul. And that's what He did. And who gets all the glory for the salvation of Jeff Arthur is the Holy Spirit. Oh, God's people say it. I believe it. And what this does, it throws all your works out the window and puts all the glory for your salvation on Jesus Christ, where it belongs. All right, let me just feed this. Put this last part in and we'll quit. He's chosen us in Him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated, predetermined us unto the dot. See the word adoption? That's what brings it to life. In adoption, the father chooses the child. The parent chooses the child. The child don't choose the parent. Oh, God's people say, see the difference? I want you to see it. It's a different deal. He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of whose will? Good pleasure of whose will? God's will. Oh, God's people say it. Well, that's our second message on... I've entitled this message, My Greatest Possessions, and right there's 10 of them, and I'm going to try to get 5 more for next week. That sound like it was a blessing? I hope it blessed your heart. I hope it did. It blessed mine. It's great what God has done for us. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. We've got a lot of people sick in the church now, and be sure to pray for